information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McClain.
When the appraiser came from Orlando to appraise our property, I believe it had been something like 7 years ago that he did the first appraisal. And he wanted to meet on the property. He drove through the community, looked at what was happening. And he had taken a lot of notes and a lot of pictures when he was here 7 years ago. And so he wanted to talk about all the growth that he could see in our community just in the last 7 years. You know, when you live in the midst of growth, you don't necessarily think about how much has changed because you see it a little more gradually. Sort of like this little baby Abigail, and Abigail is, she's growing. And I loved what Josh said. Of course, being an engineer, I can blame him for this, but Josh said if you take her current growth rate, and I want to get this right, Josh, but if you take Abigail's current growth rate and she continues that, she'll be 6 feet tall by the time she turns 2. So Abigail is growing very quickly. It's like in 1 week, we can see the change. I know with Malachi, every time we would see Malachi, Malachi's changing. Leland, we see Leland. He's changing so fast. Today I see him, he's running around like a little man. He was back there greeting like a greeter, so it's great to have him. But development is different than just building. And so the appraiser made a very big issue out of the fact that he was shocked that we had made as much progress as we had made. And of course, many of us would look at it and go, I don't think anything's been done. I have so many people saying to me, well, you know, are you ever going to build? Is this ever going to happen? And even within our own family, I don't think on purpose, but it's kind of slipped out. And I heard someone recently in the last few days say, if we build, you know, and so I've heard some things like that. And so when I looked at this for development, I believe it's appropriate for us to pray that that development spiritually that God began in us, even though it may not be visible to anyone else, that it continues. The difference between a building contractor and a developer often is the developer has to do things you can't see. There's a lot of paperwork to be done. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that's done. There's a lot of underground work that has to be done. A lot of politics that have to be dealt with. And there's a lot of planning and preparation and budgeting and raising of funds and a lot of things that has to happen that if you're driving by, many times you'd never know it because the clearing doesn't even start for a very long time. I remember the DeBartolo Mall, which is now the Jensen Beach Mall, many years ago, someone mentioned to me that it took 10 to 15 years for them to plan and prepare and actually build that mall and bring that out of the ground. So over those 15 years, I drove past that site many times. I didn't know that anything was happening. And someone may be looking at your life and you may think, or they may think, well, nothing's happening in them. But if God is in your life, God has not quit developing inside of you. And as you know, the development's from the inside out in the kingdom of God. And so God is at work in our life. So when we think about developing and you're thinking about praying through these different topics during the week for our nation and revival, faith and morality, integrity, etc., I was thinking that we should just for a moment as introduction to look at this, that we are growing. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, I will build my church. That means you're going to grow. You're going to keep growing. And he said, the gates of hell will what? Not prevail. So the plans of the devil cannot shut down our developer who is working in our life. And so develop means to grow, to cause to grow. It means to become more mature, to advance. Be developed means to come or to bring a latter or more advanced stage into reality. So it's taking that which has not happened yet and bringing it to maturity in our life. To develop into means to be changed to more and more, larger, stronger. Developing ourselves is the process of the Holy Spirit where we are learning new areas of transformation power in our life. And so whatever you've tasted of the Lord, the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And whatever you tasted up to this moment, is not all the goodness of God. God has more for you to taste and see in your personal growth and walk with Him. And so this morning, we're going to dig into the Word a little bit, and God's been speaking some things to me now for, it's about 2 months, may push into 3 months. And I just kept hearing this over and over again, that we needed to be focused on redigging the wells. Well, the Word of God talks about that, and we're going to go to that passage in Genesis in a few moments. And I'm very familiar with it. I've preached from that before. But this was something that I'd been saying, Father, what is holding us up with the resources? What is happening? Now I know what's going on and what the bank said and everybody else said, and I know about all of that. But that's all stuff in the natural. But I'm saying, Father, what are you saying? And when we face mountains in our life, yes, you may have to sweat a little bit to climb the mountain or to get around it or whatever is there. But when we face mountains, it's not if. When you face mountains, we know there's a spiritual dynamic in every aspect of our journey. And so the spiritual dynamic calls us to say, God, what are you saying? What are you wanting me to learn? Is there something I'm missing? Is there something that I'm doing that's hindering? Is there something that you're calling me to that I'm not seeing, I'm not understanding? And I'm sure all of you have prayed that way. How many have prayed that way? Sort of like that. God, help me understand. I don't want to stay in the dark. I don't want to go around this desert again. I don't want to be like Israel and spend 40 years just going in circles. But there are times in our life when we're conscious of the fact that there is not a doctor that can solve the problem. And there's not earthly wisdom that's going to give us the direction we need. We need a spiritual breakthrough, and we need to know what God has to say about it so we can place our faith solidly in the Word of God. And so that had been part of my prayer over the last, we've had many years of different things that have sort of held us up. And so in praying that, God was just speaking to me about digging again, opening up the wells, reopening up the wells, digging again. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. And it's interesting that after the fact, I realized that even some things on my vacation became illustrations of what God was saying to me in reference to reopening some wells. And this kind of started, my wife and I, we have visitors at our little mountain cabin, and they're called bats. And there's a little deck on the north and a little deck on the south side up about 2 floors in the air. And under that deck, there's a little narrow spot that is full of bats on both sides of the house. And bats are messy. They make a lot of droppings, and there's a big mess. And otherwise, they're really great because they eat bugs and do things like that. But we have all of these bats, and my wife was doing some research, and she said, well, we can't harm the bats because they're protected in North Carolina, so you can't harm them. And you can't call a professional, and there's months when the bats are reproducing, so you can't interrupt that. You've got to protect that. Now, I was planning to paint where the bats were, so I had a little bit of change of plans. Any of you face some change of plans? You last couple of weeks, you've been doing some things maybe you didn't plan on doing. I know Michael had some of that. He didn't plan on visiting the hospital, but it kind of forced a change of plans, and so trying to find a solution, and we found what we believe might be a solution, and that is to order a noisemaker that you can't hear with a human ear, but that the bats can hear. And so we ordered that, and we paid a little extra to get it shipped out early, and we're going to put a noisemaker on the north and a noisemaker on the south right next to where the bats are camping, and that was the plan. And so we paid extra to get it sent in early. And so then we thought, okay, this is going to be great, until we realized it was going to be shipped USPS. Now, we don't have a mailbox. We've never had, well, there was a mailbox put up at one time, but we have never had mail other than delivery to the door. And so I decided to visit the post office, and I got a great word, which actually I think can be applied to the Word of God. So I explained to the lady at the little post office, they're only open a few hours, it's a very small town, and I said, what do I need to do? And she said, if you expect to get mail, you have to put up a mailbox. And that was it, got to put up a mailbox. And so I thought, well, but we're not up here. And she goes, oh, well, some people, They put their mailbox in they get concrete, they put it in a little wooden planter with wheels, and they roll it in and roll it out when they're here and they're not here. And some people, they have their mailbox and it's on a swivel, and when they're not in town, they turn it backwards so they don't have to worry about it. And she's telling me all these things, and I'm thinking, I need a mailbox to get one message? And she said, yeah, that's what you got to do. You want mail, you have to have a mailbox. So it just so happens we have a mailbox. We've had a mailbox since like 19 years ago. We've had a mailbox, but it's been in the bush because the graders that graded the gravel road always ran over my mailbox. That's why I never got mail, because they would grade the road, the posts would be broke, the mailbox would be beat up. And so finally I gave up and I stuck the mailbox in the bush at the house, and it used to say McLean, and so it was in the bush, and it only has about this much of the post because everything else is gone. So I went back to the bush, dug out the mailbox, knocked the ants out of it, and said, you're moving out because we're going to get some mail, and took off the rotten post and bought another post and went to the work of putting up the mailbox. And in the process of doing that, I realized I had to dig a hole, because posts need a hole to go into for post office, right? For a box, mailbox. And so I was thinking about two post hole diggers, Roger, that are here in town. At least, we may have more. But I have a nice yellow-handled, nice one. It'll get your fingers really beat up good. And then there's a cheaper one that's here, too. And I'm thinking, I have two post hole diggers in Florida, and I have none in North Carolina. And so I need a post hole digger. You're going to dig holes, you're going to need some equipment, right? So I thought, well, I'll call the rental place. And the rental place said, oh, yes, we have an auger. And it's powered by a motor. And it's only $86 a day. And I thought, you got to be nuts. I'm not going to spend $86 to dig one hole for one mailbox. I'm not going to do that. And so I said, you don't have like post hole diggers? No, we don't rent those. We rent an auger. So then I thought, okay, well, let's see what post hole diggers cost. So you start checking, and then I'm like, wait a minute. What did people do before they had post hole diggers? They had shovels. And so I'm thinking, surely in all of the junk that's up here, I could find a shovel. So I went looking for a shovel. And I decided, I'm going to try to dig a hole with a shovel for my mailbox. And so I found this shovel. Actually, I found two shovels. And they both were kind of lame. When you see duct tape on a shovel, that means something. You know, when the handles, you know, and when the duct tape is unraveling, that means something. And when, you know, I actually found a shovel in my garage, it reminded me of the shovel I had on the mountain. This one reminded me a little bit. Can you see anything about this shovel what do you think about when you see this shovel? It's square, right? This would not work well, not to dig a hole in rock, right? What else you notice? Has it been used any? Yeah, it's been used some. What do you think about the handle? It, no duct tape, right? That's a good sign, right? So, you know, this shovel's dug a few holes, the backside, the metal's all beat up on it and such forth, and it's a square point instead of a round point. I did find the round point, but it was a fiberglass handle, which I liked the idea of until I realized that it was broken all down, you know, it was a mess. And so the first word of revelation was, if you want to get mail, you have to have a mailbox. And this morning after, I mean, it's been weeks I've been thinking about this message, but this morning, God said, you also need to remember that if you expect to hear from God, you have to make sure that you are open to receive. Because a lot of people are not hearing because you're not prepared to listen. And so God said, I want you to get that, Jonathan. So this is for me, maybe not for you. So the mailbox was important. If you're going to get mail, you have to have a mailbox. You have to be a candidate that's wanting to receive if you're going to receive. So, yeah, that was good. So then when I went to dig the hole, it had to be at least 2 feet deep, because there were all kinds of requirements on where you could put a mailbox. Any of you ever put a mailbox out? You have to talk to the delivery people. They want it. It's got to be in a certain place. It's got to be a certain height. It's got to be a certain distance from the post. It's, you know, and so all these different guidelines had to be done. So I had to, you know, I'm going to have to dig the hole deep enough to get it put in the hole just right, and it's got to be in a place where they're actually going to service it. And so all that was part of the process of digging. And so I found that with a round point shovel and a little bit of elbow grease, you can dig a hole. And it is possible to do that. But then we had another problem. The delivery did not come on our schedule. We wanted it before we were leaving so we could set it up and let it run. But the delivery did not come on our schedule. Even though we paid for it to be there Wednesday and had one whole day extra to give to the delivery people, I think the only note my wife saw was late, late. That's all it said, just going to be late. So we didn't receive our noisemakers before we left North Carolina. And as we were driving out, I took note, we have a wonderful, nice, newly lettered, old, very old, almost 20-year-old mailbox that I bent back into shape and forced the lid to actually close and actually took a chunk out of my hand trying to clean it up and make it work. We have a great mailbox, but there has been no mail to the mailbox yet. And God also spoke to me about that a little bit and said, you know, a lot of times, Jonathan, you have not received the message or the mail because it didn't come on your schedule. And I want you to remember that I'm hearing you, I'm hearing, but I'm going to send on my schedule, not your schedule. And I was going to ask you all to bring shovels with you next week because I think a lot of us could do a little fresh digging. Let's get into the Word of God. Y'all still with me? Whoever transported my shovel, I appreciate that this morning. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. So Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to start with verse 1. I'm reading out of the New Living Translations, Genesis chapter 26. Now, severe famine struck the land. It's important you remember that opening line. What kind of a famine? Severe. That's one that isn't at your neighbor's house. That's one that's at your house, too. It's in the whole land. A severe famine struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to him there and said, "Do not go to Egypt, as I say, and stay in this land. If you do, I will be with you and bless you. I will give all this land to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, regulations, and laws." All right, 1 through 6. So verse 6, Isaac stayed in Gerar. And when the men there asked him about Rebekah, he said, "She is my sister." He was afraid to admit that she was his wife. He thought they would kill him to get her. All right, so what's happened? The land's in a great time of famine, lack of rain. Israel still has cycles. There's times when it's very serious. We've had some of these in our own nation. And so the famine had impacted the entire land. But we see that in the midst of that, the Lord showed up and talked to his son. I like this part about God, that God's promise is that he doesn't do anything without talking to his prophets. Really, we could say that God doesn't do anything without talking to his people because he's talking to us all the time. And he's walking with us all the time. And he's wanting to guide us all the time in our lives. So when you're a godly person, part of your relationship is that God has promised to never leave you and never forsake you, that he will be with you. And we know that God liked to walk with Adam in the morning and in the evening. He enjoyed the cool of the day. So there were at least two times during the day specifically that Adam had a habit of meeting with God, early morning and in the evening. And God desires to meet with his people today as well. So in this first few verses, I want you just to think about this. God said to Isaac, "I don't want you to leave your place of drought. I don't want you to run away. I don't want you to try to figure out with your mind where there would be a more prosperous place for you to go to. Instead, I want for you to prosper in the midst of the drought. Now, I believe part of what God is saying to us as a church, and certainly to our building project, and I believe to me individually, is that many times God will have you prosper in the midst of your drought. It's around you, it's impacting you, it's affecting you, and there's a lot of opposition and a lot of reasons why it would be easy to say, I would rather just start over somewhere else than deal with what I have to deal with. But we need to have a clear word from the Lord. We don't have to change countries to be strengthened and provided for and delivered by God. And many people are watching us to see what we're going to do. I don't know if any of you were living in this area back about 25, 30 years ago when there were a lot of prophecies that Florida was going to be buried by a flood. We were going to be buried by a flood. And there was also a word that came through town that Florida was going to be burned, that the state of Florida would burn. Well, there were many people that moved out of Florida during that time. And some were led of the Lord. They bought properties in different places, and some actually established a bit of maybe a community could be built there if there was a need for provision. And we had friends that were inviting us to move out of state and go up and be a part. And I remember praying and saying, God, what do you want us to do? I don't believe we should make any move without careful prayer and making sure that we know what God is saying. Acts 17 gives us some instruction that the very address where you live is ordained of the Lord. The building, the apartment, the house, the current address. And it tells us there in Acts 17 why we are placed there. We're placed at the exact location, living during the season of time, so that those who are around that address will have opportunity to see who your God is and have an opportunity to come to faith in God. So it's not an accident that we are where we are in our own lives as far as where we live. So the admonition is, don't try to get out of your drought. I have something I want to do for you here. And so do not go to Egypt. Do not go back. Do not do what your dad did. Sometimes we'll look and go, well, this worked for them or it worked for them. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you. My wife and I over the years have seen pastors that have come, pastors that have gone. We've seen people come, people go. We've heard prophets speak. Some were true, some were not true. And some sold their properties and their businesses and moved here and moved there and ended up moving back. And so I'm not the judge of any of those things. I just know that when God said to me, I called you to this region, I want you to stand on the wall. I want you to be faithful. Regardless, if the floods come, I'm still going to be your God. If the fires come, I'm still going to be your God. Whatever happens in the nation, I'm still going to be your God. And I want you to be there to minister to the people who are there. And so here we are. Here we are. Back when Dad was in the Carolinas and many people were moving to the Carolinas, someone asked me, are you going to move to the Carolinas? Are you going to sell the church and move to the Carolinas? I said, no, God has called me here. This is the call of God on my life. And I am very blessed to be a Floridian with a lot of sand in my shoes. And God has given me vision of seeing great revival here on the Treasure Coast. I have a vision that's alive in me. I see it. I see the people. I see the hundreds and the thousands of people with their hands raised. I see teenagers that are standing up for God. I see children that are worshiping. I see a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and miracles. I see that in my region. And so I know what God has said to me. God may call you to move, and if so, make sure you've heard from God, and you will go with blessing without any problem, but make sure you hear from God. Well, the next part in verses 7 through 11, really it's an admonition for there to be no fear, no fear. When the men there asked him about Rebecca, his wife, I just read that, he said, she is my sister. And then it says he was afraid. Anytime fear gets in, faith is going to have a difficult time if you get placed to fear. Faith and fear do not cooperate well together. And if you run to the rock and you run to your faith, faith will cast out doubt and unbelief. It will. The two cannot stay together. But you know this story. He's concerned. He's afraid. She was a beautiful lady, and he thought they would kill him. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window, saw Isaac. Isaac's hugging his wife, and Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, she is obviously your wife. Why did you say she was your sister? And he says, I was afraid. He admits it. I was afraid. Someone would kill me to get my wife, he's saying. How could you treat us this way? Now, this is amazing. A heathen king is saying to the representative of God, how could you lie to us, is really what he's saying. How could you lie to us? How could you treat us this way? How could you expose us in this way to such an inappropriate thing? Someone might have taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty of great sin. And then Abimelech made a public proclamation, anyone who harms this man or his wife will die. So the second point this morning is on redigging your holes that need to be dug, is that we cannot let fear get involved in our life and our walk with God. Fear not, and do not try to build the walls, protect ourselves, or figure it all out. I am not alone, I don't believe, in trying to figure things out. And I do believe this hinders faith at times. Why did it happen this way at this time? Why did it happen to me? My wife and I leaving one of our locations when we were on 76 one night. Very unfortunate thing happened. A driving from her birthday party and gathering with friends and construction. I believe it's Charlie's that's out there on 76. Construction had closed down the sidewalks, and a gentleman on a bicycle simply whipped into the road and pulled right in front of this young lady in this car. The man was killed. Rachel saw the act, saw it take place. And I was right behind her and sat there. And I remember hearing this young lady just cry. She was weeping and crying, saying, why was I here when this happened? And why did this happen to me on my birthday? Why did this happen to me? And she was crying out and wailing. And I believe many times we find ourselves in life where we just don't have the answers. And I hate to tell you this, but the preacher doesn't always have the answers either. And I hate to tell you this as well, God doesn't always give you all the answers here. I wish I could tell you you'll always know all the answers. But if you find somebody that has all the answers, avoid them. They're dangerous. If you find someone that says, I'm a person that needs God, I don't have all the answers. I can't explain why I was there or why things happened like they did or even why I did what I did. I cannot explain all of that. Maybe you understand a little bit, but please don't give your life over to fear and unbelief and questions and then coming up with your own plan because you can't figure out God's plan. I've come to understand, at least for me, it's better for me to just stop and wait on God than to push forward when I don't have a clear direction from God and end up getting into trouble. And I know some of you have prayed that I would move quicker. And you see me moving slow, you can just be assured something's happening inside of me. And I'm saying, God, I really don't have a clear word about that. I really don't see a clear way about that right now. I can't understand. I can't explain some of the things. But I know that it's much better for me to wait on God and let God open the doors instead of me getting out my crowbar and deciding, I'm going to open up a door for you, God. I'm going to help you out. And so Isaac is going to have to learn these things as he is learning to follow God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, You may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.